we're holding on to 9 on the base, 12 lines from the bottom. Continuing with the Mishnah had given us a list of things that a person does for which he would be chayv malchus, and the next Mishnah that we're going to learn on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph is going to give us a further list. So we're going through that list one by one and seeing what the source is that a person is chayv malchus and various details about it. So the Mishnah had said, ochal tevel a ma'ase rishon l'chola, that if a person ate tevel, or if he ate ma'ase sheni, where trumas ma'ase had not been taken out of it, etc. So let's focus on tevel over here. So the Gemara, for the most part, the Gemara is not dealing with where we know it from, because for the most part, either it says clearly in the pasuk, or we have other Gemaras that address it. But so here also with Tevel, the Gemara is not really dealing with the question, where do we know that it's also to eat Tevel, but rather let's deal with certain dinim of it. Now, we know you have, of course, there's a lot of different maeseris that are involved. You have, true, there's a lot of different things. There's truma, and then within the truma, there's maeserishin, and within the maeserishin, there's trumas maeser, and there's maeser sheni, and in some years, there's maeser oni. So when any of those things has not been taken out, then it's still called tevel. But let's talk about what kind of tevel, which of those kinds of tevel would a person get malchus for. So Omer Rav, ochol tevel shamaiser oni loika. So Rav says, even if the person had already taken out everything, he'd taken out truma and maiser rishon and all that's left, this is one of those years when maiser oni has to be given, and not even maiser sheni, where you could say that Maisa Sheni at least has a certain degree of Kedusha. You have to take it to your Shalayim, etc. Maisa Oni has no Kedusha in it at all. You just give it to the poor people. So you would think that maybe at that point it's not considered Tevel. Nope, says Rav, it's still considered Tevel, and a person would get Malchus for eating the produce if you hadn't taken Maisa Oni yet. So the Gemara says, come on, ki hai Tana. Well, who is Rav saying that like? He's following the following Tana. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Omer Rav Yosi, Yochol lo yehei chayev ela ala tevel shel ohurim memenu kol ikur. You would think that a person is chayev only for tevel where nothing at all had been taken out yet. No truma, no maiserishin, etc. That he would be chayev, and in that case, if he does it, he'd be chayev malchus, and if there's no malchus, if there's no eidim vasra, then he'd be chayev misi b'dei shemayim. But continues Rabbi Yehuda, Hurim emenu truma gdola v'lo hurim emenu ma'aser rishon. What about if truma gdola had been taken but not ma'aser rishon? Ma'aser rishon v'lo ma'aser sheni. How do we know also even if ma'aser rishon was taken but not yet ma'aser sheni? V'afilo ma'aser oni. And again, even if we're talking about a year when there's ma'aser oni instead of ma'aser sheni, and the ma'aser oni has no kedusha at all, and nevertheless that if a person eats from the produce before taking ma'aser oni, how do we know, says Rabbi Yosi, that that's also included and he still gets malchus for it? And Mitzvah B'dei Shemayim, if it's amazed. Talmud Loimer, therefore, the Pasuk says, Lo Sucha Lecho B'Sharecha V'Gomer. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat in your gates, meaning in your cities, and it continues with a list of things that you're not allowed to eat outside your Shalayim, which we're later on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, we're going to deal with, we're going to bring a long Braisa where Reb Shimon goes through that Pasuk one by one and explains what each of the things mentioned in that Pasuk is. Anyway, so it uses the word bisharecha in your cities. Literally means in your gates, but it means in your cities. You have a different pasuk also in Parashas Re'eh, v'ochlo v'sharecha v'saveiru. That's in the years when you have to give ma'aser oni, you give it to the poor, people, and they eat it in your gates, and they'll be satisfied. So we have a gzeira shava. Malahalan ma'aser oni. There it's talking about ma'aser oni because that's what the pasuk is actually saying. Miketz shalosh shonim in the third year. Then you give your ma'aser oni. Meaning in the third and sixth year, that's when ma'aser oni takes place. So just like over there, it's ma'aser oni. Afkan ma'aser oni. The same way, the word loisuch alecha b'sharecha is referring also to where ma'aser oni has not been separated yet. And the Torah is telling you, you're not allowed to eat it. So in other words, even though in context, the Pasuk is telling us about the things that you're not allowed to eat outside of your Shalayim, and later on, as we go further today, on the next daf, we're going to talk about how there's a list of things in that Pasuk that you're not allowed to eat outside your Shalayim, but we're also darshaning in a different sense, that the Pasuk is saying you're not allowed to eat it as long as Bisharecha has not been taken out. Bisharecha referring to Maisa Ani. On the Pasuk because you can't eat it. So therefore, so Rav is following that when he's saying, therefore, you're not allowed to eat from the Tevel, even when the only thing left to take from it is Maisa Ani, and the Pasuk is saying, Lo Suchal, and therefore there's still Malkus for eating it at that point. Now, so does that mean that everybody agrees with Rav Yosi? So I'm Rav Yosef Ketanoi. Rav Yosef says there's actually a machlokas tanoim on that subject. We have another braisa that says Rav Eliezer Omer Ein Sarach Lichros is Hashem Al Maisa Oni Shal Dmai. Now, what about when it comes to Dmai? So we know you have the concept that the Chachamim didn't trust that the Amir Oretz take Trumas and Maisus properly, because as we know historically, the Gemara tells us at the end of Sota that at one point Yochanan Kohen Gadol, in the time of the second Mes Mikdash, checked things out and found that most Amir Oretz were giving all the Trumas and Maisus the way they were supposed to, but there was a significant minority that were giving only Truma and nothing else, and that's why the whole concept of Dmai was created, that now when you buy produce from such an Amor, from an Amor Oretz, then you have to take Maiser Misofik. So now you have a number of dinim in which Dmai is different than Vadai in that regard, because you're only given because of the Sofik. You have an entire Masechta Dmai that deals with those details. So now now what happens when you, if you buy Dmai from Amor Oretz, do you need to separate, do you need to even designate the Maisa Oni? So now, for example, when it comes to Maisa Rishon, you do need to designate it. Now, the Maisa Rishon has no Kedusha in it. However, you need Maisa Rishon in order to have Trumas Maisa, and the Trumas Maisa does have Kedusha and has to be given to the Kohen, so therefore you do have to declare, at least you have to say, this part is going to be Maisa Rishon. And then afterwards, once you separate out the Trumas Maisa from it, then you're allowed to eat the rest, because the rest of the Maisa Rishon has no Kedusha. Maisa Sheni, you go and redeem it, etc. Now, what about Maisa Oni? Again, there's no Kedusha in it at all, but it has to be given to the poor people. On the other hand, does it have to be given to the poor people with Dmai? Not necessarily. Because you can tell, you want to collect this Maisa Oni from me, prove that in fact the Amor Oretz that I bought this produce from did not already take that Maisa. So therefore, you don't have to give it to the Aniyim. Do you need to designate it in the first place? Rabbi Eliezer says you do not. Ein sorach liquus is Hashem al ma'isa oni shal dmai. Rabbi Eliezer says you don't even need to designate it, you don't even need to say, for example, as you might say that the Maisa Rishon is on the north side of this pile, and then within it is the Trumas Maisa, etc. With Maisa Oni, Rabbi Eliezer says you don't even need to do that. The Chachamim say you do have to designate it. You do have to say, for example, the north or the south or whatever side of this pile is Maisa Oni. But then you don't need to actually separate it out, because you're going to be able to eat it anyhow, because again, I'm Motzim Chavela Varaya. And Rashi points out that again, when it comes to the other Maestras, you are going to have to actually separate them, because the Maestra Rishon, you are going to have to separate it in order to take the Trumas Maestra out of it. Maestra Sheni, in years when there's Maestra Sheni, you're going to have to actually separate out, because you're going to need, to take it to your Shalayim, or exchange it for money and take it to your Shalayim, etc. So those you're going to have to separate out. But when it comes to Maisa Oni, the Chum agree you don't need to separate it out, because you're anyway not going to give it to the Oni, but you do need to designate it to begin with. So, says Rabbi Yosef, my lab b'hokam miflegi. So on the face of it, that would be the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. The mar sova vadai toidloi. The Chachamim hold that when it comes to vadai, when it comes to produce that definitely hasn't been meisered, then the lack of giving meiser oni makes it still tevel. Therefore, when it comes to Dmai, it might be you don't need to separate anything, but the whole point of Dmai is that you have to separate just to be on the, that you have to give the trumas and meiser, you have to give the meisers just to be on the safe side, well, in that case, if you didn't designate the Maiser Oni, and it was not, in fact, Maiser, then you're going to be, then you're going to have Tevel, and that's a problem. So therefore, they say you at least have to designate it. Omar Sava Vada in a Tevel, whereas apparently Rabbi Eliezer holds that no, when it comes to, even when it comes to Vada, it wouldn't be Tevel for failure to designate Maiser Oni, and therefore, by Dzmai, where anyway you're not giving it to the Oni, then Rabbi Eliezer would say you don't need to separate it, and that doesn't make it, that's still Tevel. Once you dealt with Truma, which the Amo Oretz himself gave anyhow, and Maiserishin, which you're designating, then you're good, and it's not considered Tevel anymore. So therefore, so that would mean that what Rabbi Yossi had said before, that a person gets Malkus, and what Rav had said before explaining, according to Rabbi Yossi, that a person would get Malkus for eating Tevel, where Maiser Oni had not been taken, would be according to the Chachamim, but not according to Rabbi Eliezer. But the Gemara says, Omalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, that can't be the underlying reason of their machlokas. Ihochi, if that were so, Adam Mifliki Besfegoi, then why are Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim arguing specifically about the case of Suffolk, about Tzmai, Lif the Guba Vadai? Wouldn't it be, they might as well then argue about Vadai, where exactly that? Let them argue. When it comes to Vadai, a person hasn't designated Maiser Oni, is it still considered Tevel? Is there Malkus involved? Rabbi Eliezer would say no. The Chum would say yes. Let it present the Machlokas that way. The fact that they're arguing only about Zmai seems to mean that they're arguing about a different point. Ela dekula alma vaday tovloi. No, we're going to say that both of them agree with Rabbi Yossi before and with Rav that the failure to designate Maiser Oni still leaves it Tevel. And therefore, when it comes to Vada, there's no question you need to designate Maiser Oni, and you need to, and then after that, and then eventually you need to give it to the poor people. V'hocha v'hocha mifugi. Rather, when it comes to Dzmai, the machlokas is going to be as follows. Mar Sovar, Rabbi Eliezer holds, l'nechshidu amei ha'oretz al Maiser Oni shel Dzmai. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Chachamim are not suspect of not giving Maiser Oni, because when it comes to Dzmai. In other words, like this. We know that the Amei Ha'aretz give Truma because they know, everybody knows that eating Truma, that if a Zor eating Truma would be Chayev Misa. So they do designate the Truma. They do separate out the Truma and give it to the Koyanim. Maiser Rishon, they're careless with, because they think Maiser Rishon, there's no Kedusha in it, only that you have to take out Truma's Maiser from it, so therefore they don't bother. Maiser Sheni, fine. You could say also they don't want to bother because they don't want the hassle of taking it to your shalayim or the equivalent of the cash value of it to your shalayim or whatever, and therefore they think that it's not such a problem. The Gemara in Sota, when it talks about the institution of Dmai, says that when Yochanan Kohen Gadol found out, and his messengers told him that the Amei Oretz were not always giving the Maisers, so Yochanan Kohen Gadol started a whole public education campaign to explain to them that no, it doesn't work that way. You have to give the Maisers as well, but nevertheless, since not all the Amei Oretz were listening, then that's why he had to make the concept of Dmai. So when it comes to Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni, then therefore we're saying the Amei Oretz don't always bother, and therefore you need to do it when you buy it from them. But when it comes to Maiser Oni, where it's a matter of there's no Kedusha in it, and on the other hand, it's a matter of giving it to the poor people and not stealing it from them. So Rabbi Eliezer would hold then, says Abaya, that we're not suspecting the Amei Oretz of going and blatantly stealing from the poor people. So according to him, they would in fact in years when there's Maiser Oni, they would separate it. So therefore, when it comes to Dzmai, then we can assume that there's a high likelihood that the Amei Oretz himself separated it, and therefore that you don't need to. Which, by the way, there would be, if they did that, if they designated Maiser Oni before Maiser Rishon and without doing Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni, they'd be over on a lav that the Torah tells us, that you're not allowed to give your Maiseris out of order, but fine. I mean, that's a lav. I don't think a person is Chayav Malkus or anything for that. So therefore, they might not worry about that. But that would be why Rabbi Eliezer is saying that if you buy produce from an Amoritz, you don't have to designate Maiser Oni because you have a high likelihood that the Amoritz himself did that. Because it's only a matter of money.
There's no mitzvah involved with eating it. Afrushi mafrish, so therefore it's very likely that he's going to designate it. So fine, he says there won't be a problem with it. What I'll do is, I'll designate it so that it won't be tevel, and then if anything, fine. Then no, fakir. When we said before ein choshen legezel aniyim lechayish, then I said it wrongly. Not that they're not going to steal from the poor, but fakir. That they're going to think, okay, so I'm stealing from the poor. Big deal. It's not like there's any one individual person that I'm stealing from. So they're going to think to themselves, okay. So what I'll do is I'll designate the ma'aser ani. It's no skin off my nose to do that. And then I'll eat it myself. Either our aniyim would like it. Okay, that they're not my problem. But at least we have a reason to think. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that they actually designated Maisoni. Verabbanan Savri, where's the Chachamim, take the view. Now, they're not kosher on Gezel, to be sure, but it's different when it's not, when it's called Momon Shein Leitovim. Again, there's no specific person who could say that Maisoni ought to go to me, so therefore the Amoritz is likely to rationalize to himself that it's not so bad. Verabbanan Savri, where's the Chachamim hold, given the Tircha Le Milsa, after all, there was a Tircha involved in designating it, Loi Mafrish, so therefore he may not designate it in the first place, so therefore it may be that he actually didn't do that in the first place, and now therefore you need to do that. What is the tircha involved? So first of all, actually, Agoris Agra has the gius over here, not to tricha, not to tricha le milsa, that it's a bother for him. Rather, Agoris Agra's gius is the sanya le milsa, meaning that he doesn't like the matter. So the two different gyusois over here are, if you say tricha le milsa, then it means what's the tircha? It's not like you have to separate it out. The tircha is at least to figure out how much there is over here in order to designate the proper amount, to designate 10% to designate 10% for Maisani. So it's a bother to do that, and therefore he may not want to go through that bother. According to Hagoris Agra, that the Gir says the Sanyalei Milsa, meaning, in other words, that he would prefer, he's thinking to himself, you know what, I'd rather eat or sell Tevel rather than go through. You're saying that I'm only stealing from the Aniyim collectively and not from one Oni particular, but why should I do that? Instead, let me not designate it in the first place. And then, to his Amaratzah, a way of thinking, then there's no Isser, there's not even a trace of an Isser of Gezel. There's just, okay, so it's Tevel, I don't care about that. So therefore, so he may prefer to do it that way rather than to designate the Maisa Oni and then have to think to himself, but you know what, aren't I stealing from the Aniyim? It's only Mum and Shane Leitovim, and I don't want to bother. So in his Amaratza Shemine, he may think it's better to avoid the whole thing in the first place. This is Reb Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva on the where he discusses this Gemara over here, and he mentions this point and also the point about the Tircha. Then you can also have, he brings also a point that another way of looking at it is that the Amoritz may not be aware of the halacha, that it's enough to designate the Maisa Oni and then leave it in place. He may think that he would actually have to separate it out, and that would indeed be a big tircha, so therefore he might not want to bother that. Okay, so the Chacham say, in short, when you're buying from the Amoritz, you do have to be concerned because of these considerations that he didn't designate Maisa Oni, and therefore that you need to do it now. But both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim would agree that if he didn't designate Maisa Oni, it still remains Tevel, and therefore that brings us back to Rabbi Yossi's din and back to Rav's din, that it still is Tevel, and therefore a person would be Chayav Malkus for eating it. Next, the Mishnah had said, Kama Yoichel Menat Tevel, the Fuller. The Mishnah had continued, when it comes to Tevel, how much does a person need to eat in order to be Chayev? Most Isuri Achila, most of the time, when the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat such and such, most of the time it's a Kazayas. Yesterday we talked about when it comes to bugs and worms and so forth, that there can be the concept of a barrier that you can have, for example, one whole ant that a person would eat, he'd be chayav malchus for that alone, even though it's less than a kazayas. So now in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon had said, now when it comes to tevel, the amount is kol shehu, any amount, even less than a kazayis, and the Chum had said a kazayis. And then in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon had said, listen, you see that a person eats one ant, then he's chayav malchus, so why shouldn't it be the same thing if he eats one grain of wheat of tevel? And the Chum answered him that the so the flow of the Mishnah was he just said Rav Shimon had said, don't you agree to me that if he eats one ant, then he's chayiv malchus? And they told him sure, because that's a beria. So Rav Shimon says, well, he also one grain of wheat is also a beria. So let's analyze that point. Yeah, so the Gemara says, Omer Bibi, Omer Rav Shimon Lakish, Machlokas Bechita. That Machlokas, Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, would be specifically if he were to take a grain of wheat of Tevel and eat it. So then, Rav Shimon holds that the grain of wheat is considered a beria, and the Chachamim hold that it's not. But if it was a matter of if he ground up the wheat and now he has flour, Dibre Hakel, Kazayas, then everybody would agree that he's chayiv only if he eats a kazayas of tevel, like any other, like any of the other isurim in the Torah when it comes to eating. So that's Rabbi's understanding of the machlokas. Whereas Rabbi Yumi says in the name of Rish Lakish, kamachlokas bazu, kach machlokas bazu. No, the same machlokas would be whether it was wheat or whether it was flour. Either way, Rabbi Shimon is saying that when it comes to when it comes to tevel, there's no minimum amount, and therefore that he'd be chayev. In other words, Rav Shimon holds, according to Rav Yumi's understanding of the Machlokas, that Rav Shimon would say Kazayas is only as far as that if a person does something that would make him chayav a korban chatas, then he has to eat at least a Kazayas. But here, when it comes to that he eats b'mezid, Rav Shimon would be saying that no matter what, he's chayav Malkus, even if there's less than the shiur Kazayas, when he eats b'mezid. Now, why would that be? Why would there be that distinction? Rashi says it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. That is and the Achronim discuss what Rashi means by that. What does he mean? It's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Does he mean, first of all, what is the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? That according to Reb Shimon, a person is chayiv malchus for eating even less than a kazayis if he eats b'mezid. Or what does he mean? The halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is that for a korban, it has to be that he eats kazayis. So the Ksav Sofer in particular explains that Rashi means the second one. That Rav Shimon is saying, I agree that when it comes to a korban, there's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that says that a kazayis. Without that, he would say that he's chayav a korban for even less, and therefore he says, so the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is not talking about the mezid. Therefore, we would still say that he's chayav any amount for eating the mezid. The Ritzvah also brings a point. He brings from the Ramah that says the difference is there's something called achshavei that you have. Like this, normally a person is chayev only for eating a kazayas, but when he eats b'mezid and he shows even a smaller amount, he shows that it's important to him. So Rav Shimon would say that he could get malchus for that, as opposed to when he did b'shogeg, then there's no achshavei. And then in turn, Achronim discuss that point in more detail. What exactly is the basis, according to Reb Shimon, for giving him Malkus in that case? Be that as it may, that's the idea. Is that according to Reb Shimon, according to Reb Yumi's understanding of Reb Shimon, he could be chayav Malkus even for eating less than a kazayis, and even if it wasn't a beria. So the Gemara says, let's see. Now we learned in our Mishnah. Omalahem Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon says to the Chachamim, that how could you tell me you need to eat a kazayas in order to be chayev? Iyatam modim li ba'ochon namola koshu shu chayev. Don't you agree with me that if a person eats even one single ant, then he's chayev? So you see that a person can be chayev malchus for less than a kazayas. Omruloy, and the Chum answered him, "Pnei shehi kibir yasa," because the ant is a beria, it's a creature as Hashem created it, it's a complete creature as Hashem created it. Omulahem, so Hashem answers them, "Fine, afchitakas kibir yasa, a grain of wheat is also kibir yasa." Well, then, it seems that Rav Shimon is basing himself on the concept of beria. Chita ein kemach loy. So it sounds like Rav Shimon is saying only if he ate one grain of wheat, but not if he ground it into flour. So that would work according to the Bibi's explanation of Rav Shimon. But how would Rav Yumi understand that, he who says that Rav Shimon is just being mechayev across the board for eating less than a kazayis? And the answer is, Rav Yumi is going to understand the divrei in Karmelahu. He would understand that Rav Shimon is speaking to the Chachamim. He's saying, according to your logic. He'd say like this, Livi D, as far as I'm concerned, afilo kemachnami, he should be chayiv malchus for even less than a kazayis. Because, again, actually, either because like we said, either because of the Ksav Sofer says there is a halacha Moshe Mitzinai that when it comes to a korban he needs to eat at least a kazayas to be chayav in cases of koris to be chayav a korban, and therefore where there's no halacha Moshe Mitzinai, then we still say that he's chayav for any amount. Or like the Ritva says that the idea is because if he eats b'mezid less than a kazayas, then actually. So as far as I'm concerned, that would apply whether it's a grain of wheat or whether it's flour. Ela l'didchu, but at least according to you, that you need a kazayis. Oduli mias, at least you should agree. Dechita achas kibriyosa, that at least one grain of wheat, if it's still intact, should be considered a beria, and you should be chayav for it. So why are you saying that not? And the Gemara answers, according to that way of understanding, Rabbanon, the Chachamim answer back, they say, no, Brias Neshama Chashova. When we talk about a beria, it has to be something that's alive. So an ant is considered a beria because it is, or at least it was, alive, and therefore it's considered a beria. And therefore it has Chashivos. Chita loy Chashova, but a Brias Neshama Chashova, only when it has Neshama is important enough to be considered a beria. Chita loy Chashova, a grain of wheat is not considered Chashov, and therefore the concept of beria wouldn't apply to it. And this, by the way, this point about what we define as a beria is negeya in other areas of halacha as well. Where in Hilchas Tarubis, we have the concept that a beria is not bottle. So would that apply? Would that apply to grains of wheat that are mixed with others? So no, since the halacha is like a chachamim, then therefore the concept of beria applies only to something that is or was alive. Now it doesn't have to be then. It doesn't have to be a complete living creature. Then it can also be something which all by itself, or something which comes from a living creature and has an identity of its own. So that includes, for example, it includes not only ants, it includes also, for example, a gidanosha, because it comes from an animal which was alive and it has a metzius of its own being osir. Another example would be Avim and Achai. Another example would be an egg that has an egg that's already been fertilized and has a chick inside it. And there's various other things like that I mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that a beria then is not bottle, even one in a thousand. There's discussion. There are poskim who say maybe there is a way to be mevatel a beria. But basically, this concept from here and from related gemaras and cholin is where we get the concept, the definition of a beria. So the chum are saying that it has to be something that is or was alive. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Yirmiyah. In fact, we learn a Braisa like Rabbi Yirmiyah's understanding, where the Braisa says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shehu L'Makas, when it comes to Malkus, a person is Chayav Malkus for even any amount, even less than a Kazayas. Loy Omru Kazayas, Elul Inin Kurban, the concept of a Kazayas is said only by Halach L'Moshe Mitzinai, only in connection by a Kurban. And therefore, when there's no korban here, by the way, if a person eats tevel b'shogeg, there's no korban because a korban is only when there's koris b'mezid. And here, if a person eats tevel b'mezid and there's no edim masra, then it's misi b'dei shemayim, not koris. So therefore, there's no chatos. But in any case, Reb Shimon is saying that only when we talk about when a korban is relevant, then it's a kazayis. But when a korban is not relevant, then kol shehu, then he's chayev for any amount. So that braisa supports what Rabbi Yirmiyah says. With that said, it doesn't necessarily contradict Rabbi Bibi because there's a Mishnah elsewhere that can be understood according to Rabbi Bibi. So therefore, fine, you have the two different opinions. This is all to understand Rabbi Shimon. The halacha anyway is like a chachamim. So therefore, the matter of beria is not applicable over here anyway. And even if he eats one grain of wheat of tevel, he's not going to be chayav malchus only if he eats a kazayis. The Mishnah continues. More listings of things for which a person is chayav malchus, besides for the ones that we had in the first Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. Ha'oichol bikurim ad shalei kara aleihem. Another case, a person would be chayav malchus if he eats bikurim before the psukim of Arami Oved Avi were said over them. Now, you do have certain cases where it talks about Mishnayis Bikurim, and sporadically here and there in the Gemara, where the Psukim are not going to be said for one reason or another. We're going to talk about actually some such cases. We're going to learn further on in the Gemara over the next couple of blocks. But in any case, where the Psukim have to be said, then if he didn't say the Psukim, then nobody, not even the Kohen, is allowed to eat the Bikurim yet, and therefore he'd be Chayav Malchus, as we'll learn in the Gemara, where we know that point. Next. Kodshe kodshim chutz l'kloyim. If a kohen were to eat kodshe kodshim outside the kloyim, outside the azora, kloyim, by the way, means hangings, means curtains. So we have in Ezo Mekoyim, and we know we use that expression. So one, why are we using that word, the curtains, rather than saying the azora? So two reasons are given by Mefoshim. One is because it harks back to the Mishkan in the Mishkan, where there were actual kloyim because it was a portable thing. And therefore, we mean that Lashon was formulated back even when the Jewish people were in the desert, and then they started using that term, Chutz HaKloyim, Lefnim Min HaKloyim, and Chutz HaKloyim, and the name stuck even afterwards. The other possibility is the Gemara brings that when they were building the second Beis HaMikdash, the din is you're allowed to bring Korbanos even before the building of the Beis HaMikdash is built yet, as long as you know the Mokom HaMizbeach, and when they started building the second Beis HaMikdash, they did just that, but they put up temporary curtains and partitions to mark off where the walls are going to be so that they'd have an azara within which to eat kodshim kodshim, and so therefore, so the word kloyim would come from that period of history. So a kohen eats kodshim kodshim outside the kloyim, then he's chayav malchus. Similarly, kodshim kalim or ma'aseh sheni chutz l'choyma, person eats kodshim kalim or ma'aseh sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim, then he's chayav malchus. In this week's parasha, that Moshe tells Aaron and his sons to make sure he tells them make sure you eat the leftover parts of the korban shlomim from the miluim, eat it in a holy in a tahor place. And Rashi brings based on the sifra that it means that you can eat them anywhere in Machne Yisrael, and in future generations that means in the walls of Yerushalayim. Another example where a person is chayav malchus, hashover se etzim b'pesach hatahor. If a person breaks a bone from a korban pesach that was brought for tahara, the Torah tells us don't break a bone in it, so he's chayav malchus if he does. So all of those cases, loikar hareza loikar boyim, then he gets malchus. Avol hamoisir b'tahor, but if he leaves over meat from a korban pesach that was tahor, which we learned a few days ago that there were various reasons to not be mechayev and malchus, as we said, there could be the reason because it's a lav shein b'maisa, there could be the reason because it's asura safek, there could be the reason because it's a lav anitik la'asa, all the various reasons that we talked about. So therefore, so he doesn't get malchus for leaving over meat from a tahor korban pesach, v'ashova b'tome, or if the korban pesach was brought b'tumah, as we know it can be, if the majority of the Jewish people, the majority of the kohenim are tame, and the Pesach is brought and even eaten b'tumah, then nevertheless, if a person breaks a bone from that, ain't a loikar boim, he's not going to get malchus, as we'll learn in the Gemara. I don't think we're going to learn it in the Gemara over here, but Rashi points out, based on the Gemara in Pesachim, that says when the Pesach says, don't break a bone in it, means only in a Pesach that's Tahor, not in one that's Tomei. So therefore, there's no Isser to break the bone. An interesting idea, actually, the Or Sameach says maybe Taka, you should break it, because that way, like this, when you have with a Pesach that's Tahor, you always have this marrow inside the bones. That marrow is going to become noiser. When it comes to a Pesach Tahor, you have no choice. You can't break the bones, so there's no way to get out that marrow, and necessarily you're going to have to burn it with the noiser. But here, with a Pesach Tomei, you might as well break the bones, get out the marrow, and that way you're making it less likely that there'll be any noiser. Next, the Mishnah continues, which we learned about this yesterday. Hanoto emal abonim, if a person takes a mother bird together with the chicks, so he's over on loisikach emal abonim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, loikav ena mishaleach. Rabbi Yehuda says at that point he's going to get malchus, and he doesn't have to send away the mother bird anymore because he was over on the lab, and now there's no mitzvah to send away the mother bird afterwards. In other words, that he holds that when the pasuk says shaleach to shalach asaim does not mean after you took the mother bird then make up for it by sending her away, but rather it means to begin with you have a mitzvah to send away the mother bird, and if not then it's too late to do anything. So this is what we called the other day in the Gemara. We called it Lav Shekodmai Eser, where we had a whole discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish whether a person gets Malchus for that. So Rabbi Yehuda would hold. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, at least Rabbi Yehuda would be holding. It's considered a Lav Shekodmai Eser, and according to Rish Lakish, he would say that that it just means that because there's no essay at all afterwards over here, once he took the mother bird, then it's too late to do the essay at all. The Chamam Shaleach Reina Loika. The Chum said, no, we can still send away the mother bird, and he won't get Malkus unless, as we learned previously, as we learned over the last couple of days, unless you have, according to the different opinions, Loikimo, that he failed to do the mitzvah, and now it's too late, because, for example, the mother bird died, or whether Bitloi, whether it was Mevatel if you're dying by, for example, killing the mother bird. And the Mishnah continues, Zach Cloud, here's the general rule, Kol mitzvahs loises esheyesh b'kumaseh, whenever there's a loises where there is afterwards a kumaseh, where the Torah tells you, go do a mitzvah to make up for it, for example, by gzela, or for example, by other cases, ein chayov an aleh, then a person is not chayav malchus, it just means it's lava nitik l'aseh, and he has to fulfill the aseh, and then he's potter from malchus, and then again you have the whole bitloi, v'loi kimoi thing that we learned about before. So let's talk about this matter of Bikurim. An interesting point, by the way, that Mefarshim discussed is why the order of things that the Mishnah lists over here. Why is Bikurim first, especially because Bikurim are one of the last mitzvahs in the Torah in Parshas Kisavai. So the Pnei Yeshua actually says because the Mishnah wants to tell us about the greater chiddush in each one. Here the Gemara is going to discuss this matter of that you have to say the pesukim of Bikurim before the Kohen is allowed to eat them is actually going to be subject to a machloikas, as we're going to say over here. So therefore the Mishnah wants to put it first. And then after that, the other ones are not as much of a chiddush. So each one is a lesser chiddush than the other. The Aruch HaNer says that the different point, he says that, the Bikurim, not only do you have to have them inside you have to eat them in Yerushalayim, but even inside the Beis HaMikdash itself, the Kohen can't eat them unless the Pesukim were set over them, as we're going to say in the Gemara now. So therefore, it's mentioning that first, because you have the greatest number of restrictions on what you need to do before you can eat it, as opposed to Kodshim, that you can eat them in the Azar. So you can eat them in the Azara as soon as the blood of the Kohen is sprinkled, just not outside. And then Kodshim Kalim are less or so, and therefore like each one has less and less restrictions on it. And then there's another explanation, one of the Mefarshim on the Mishnayos, Sheshanim LeDavid, says like this, the Gemara is going to bring a long braisa over here, according to Reb Shimon, that he's going to learn the various things from a pasuk, the various things that you're not allowed to eat outside of Yerushalayim. And he actually learns the pasuk, as the Gemara is going to say, he learns from the end to the beginning, and the last thing listed in the pasuk, which Reb Shimon darshens first, is Trumas Yadecha, which he explains. I mean, Bikurim, therefore the Mishnah puts it first. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Babachana Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva Stima Saw. That the Mishnah is saying, that before the person says the Pesukim over the Bikurim, then the Kohen is not allowed to eat it. This is only according to Rabbi Akiva Stima Saw, meaning where Rebbe regularly in the Mishnayos puts Stam Mishnahs according to Rabbi Akiva. As we learned and said, we know Stam Mishnah Reb Meir, and Reb Meir was a Talmud of Reb Akiva, so many times Rebbe will tell us a Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, and it will represent only the view of Reb Akiva, and therefore it's calling him, and therefore it calls him Reb Akiva Stimasar, Reb Akiva, who is often learned as a Stam Mishnah. So Rabbi Yochanan says only Rabbi Akiva holds this way. The Chum say no. Bikurim hanocha ma'akeves behen. The Chum say that no. When you first bring Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, the pasuk says you have to place them down. You have to place it down in front of the mizbeach, and then afterwards you say the pesukim. So in particular, the Pesukim mentioned twice that you have to put it down, because a few Pesukim later, it also says, these Nachdoi, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, we have a general rule when it comes to Kodshim that when something is repeated twice, then it means that it's Ma'akiv. So therefore, so the Chum say only the Hanocha is Ma'akiv, but not the Kriya, not the same, Kriya in Ma'akiv is Behen, but the reading the Pesukim is not Ma'akiv, and the Kohen would be allowed to eat it once the person placed it in the Azara. So the Gemara asks, why is he mentioning Rabbi Akiva? V'lema zudivir Rabbi Shimon stimasa. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say that this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who was often brought as a Stam Mishnah? Because we're going to have a brisa that the Gemara is going to quote, starting here and continuing into Omid Beis, that's going to where Rabbi Shimon is going to explain that he has a source in the pasuk for saying that you need to say the psukim over Bikurim in order to be able to eat them. So why is he mentioning Rabbi Akiva? Where does he get that Rabbi Akiva holds this way? And the answer is Hakamash Malan. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan wants you to know. That Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Svirulei, that Rabbi Akiva also agrees with Rabbi Shimon on that. The Braisa is going to be in the name of Rabbi Shimon, but nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that Rabbi Akiva also holds this way, and therefore he mentioned Rabbi Akiva. Okay, my Rabbi Shimon. Where do we see that Rabbi Shimon holds of this concept? Netanya. We have a pasuk like this. The pasuk says, Lo sucha lecho b'sharecha. You're not allowed to eat in your gates, meaning in your cities outside your shalayim. So the whole pasuk goes like this. It lists, Maiser d'gon chatiyoshcha v'itzarecha. The maiser, meaning maiser sheni, of your grain and wine and oil. Uv'choris b'korcha v'tzenecha. The b'chorim of your cattle and your sheep. V'chon nedarecha asher kider. And all your nedarim that you will vow. V'nidvaisecha. And all your nedavis. Usrum asyodecha. And the truma of your hand. This pasuk, by the way, I think is a record. Yeah, the Rambam, based on the Gemara, as it's going to go through over here and explain what each of these phrases is, it comes out there's like eight different things that you're not allowed to, the pasuk is listing, that you're not allowed to eat outside of your shalayim. So here you have, in one single pasuk, you have eight lavim. Anyway, so Omer Reb Shimon, so now Reb Shimon is going to darshan this pasuk, but he's going to darshan it out of order, as the Gemara is going to say. So Omer Reb Shimon, Ma Bozel Olamdenu. What is this pasuk coming to teach us? Let's start with the end of the pasuk. Reb Shimon says, when the pasuk says Srumas Yadecha, the truma of your hand, Eivu Bikurim, that refers to Bikurim. It's called Srumas Yadecha. It has the kedusha of truma in that only Kohenim and their families can eat it. And for many purposes, it has the dinim of truma, and it's called yodecha because you bring it with your hands to the Beis Hamikdash, and you put it down in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Shimon says when it says trumas yodecha, evam abikurim, and in fact Rashi actually mentions the pasuk actually says the loka hakoyin atenem yodecha, the koyin should take the basket from your hand. So we see the word hand is mentioned in connection with bikurim. So, Om Reb Shimon, Ma Bozel Olamdenu. So Reb Shimon says, what does that come to tell us? Im lo oichlan chus l'choyma, if it's telling us exactly what it sounds like, that a person is not allowed to eat bikurim outside the walls of Yerushalayim, you don't need it. Kavachoyma mi maiser hakal. You should be able to learn it from a kavachoyma, from maiser sheni, which is more lenient. Because after all, maiser sheni can be eaten by zorim, and bikurim cannot. You would say, ma meiser akal, ma doch meiser, which is more lenient, oichlan chutz l'choyma, a person eats it outside the wall of Yerushalayim, loika, then he gets malchus, bikurim, like kolshikin, how much more so bikurim, which are more stringent than meiser. So therefore says Reb Shimon, what is the word? The Surah Sadecha coming to teach you, Loi Barakosim, Elala Oichum Bikurim, Achle Koraleim. It's meaning, not Bikurim outside your shrine, we're rather taking the words, Surah Sadecha, out of context, and saying that it means that he eats them even in your shrine, even in the Azara, but without the Psukim having been said first. Loi Barakosim, Elala Oichum Bikurim, Achle Koraleim, even before the Psukim were said, Shuhu Loika, that he would get Malkus. So Reb Shimon is learning from that fact that it says, Shurumas Yadecha, what it said in our Mishnah, that if you eat Bikurim before the Psukim were said on them, then he gets Malkus. Next, Reb Shimon says, let's go back to the previous thing in the pasuk. So again, Reb Shimon is darshaning the pasuk from the end to the beginning, because otherwise it would be impossible for him to make his drashas. If, for example, if he were to darshan in order, for example, then it would be, then he couldn't say, what is the pasuk coming to tell you? It's Shurumas Yadecha, because we would already have known from earlier in the pasuk that it's also to eat. So therefore, Reb Shimon has to darshan it out of order like this. So next, the nidvei secha zutoido shlomim. When it says nidvei secha, means a person brings a korban toida, or a person brings a shlomim. Now, why is it called nidvei secha? Is we know there's a difference in halacha between neder and nedava. A person says neder means hare olai, the obligation to bring the korban is on me. Nidvei secha, nedava, would be where he says hare zu. To begin with, he says, this is a korban, and the din is enechai bachriyosai. If the animal becomes unavailable for a korban, he doesn't have to bring another one. So the Ritva explains that often people would do that specifically with a toido or shlomim. They would do it with toidos nadava so that they don't have a chrayas for it. So, Omer Reb Shimon, Ma Bozel Olamdenu. So again, Reb Shimon says, what is that coming to teach us? Im lo oichlan chutz l'choyma, if it means that he's not allowed to eat it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Again, kavachoyma mi maiser. We could learn that by kavachoyma from maiser sheni.
Where Ma'ase Sheni, as the Gemara is going to point out later on, Ma'ase Sheni has a kula over a toida and a shlomim. Because after all, Ma'ase Sheni, you know, once you bring it to Yerushalayim, you don't do anything else. Whereas a toida and a shlomim, you have the various avodas of the korban. The Gemara is going to, right now, Rav Shimon is not explaining in what way each one is more lenient and stringent than the other. Later on, the Gemara is going to teach out what he means. So therefore, holoi bar kosev. So therefore, the pasuk with the word v'nidvei secha must become to tell you elal oichel b'todah v'shlamim lifnei zrika shuva loika, that if we eat from a todah v'shlamim before the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, then he would get malchus. Rashi points out that you have there's already an esse in the Torah to sprinkle the blood and then eat the meat, but you wouldn't know that there's a lois esse involved. So Rav Shimon says you learn the lois esse from this pasuk. Next, Rav Shimon goes to the previous thing in the pasuk over Choros. The pasuk mentions. So now Rav Shimon is not just going backward in the pasuk. He's actually so far he did the last two things in the pasuk. First to last, now the next to last. Now he's going in a completely different order, and he's going back to the middle of the pasuk and darshaning downward from there. So the next one was over Choros. So the pasuk mentions the Bechoros. That means exactly that. It means a Bechor of an animal. But Omer again, Omer Rav Shimon, Ma Bozel Lamdenu. What does the word Bechoros come to teach you? Im lo ochon chutz l'choyma. Does it mean that you're not allowed to eat them outside the wall of Yerushalayim? Again, Kavachoyma mi Maisa. You can make a Kavachoyma from Maisa Sheni. The im lifnei zirka, and if you mean like we just said about the todah and shlomim that he ate the meat before the blood was sprinkled, also kavachomer mitodah or shlomim. Then you can make a kavachomer from a todah and a shlomim, because a todah and a shlomim can be eaten by zorim, whereas a bechor cannot. Holei bar kosev ella lo oichol min abechor afilu la'achas zirka shu loike. So no, it means that if a zur were to eat from the bechor even after the blood is sprinkled, then he would be getting malchus because only the kohenim are allowed to eat it. And again, you have a mitzvah asay elsewhere where the Torah tells us that the bechor is one of the 24 matnas kohuna. So now you need to be told that there's also a lav for a zur to eat it. Next, Rav Shimon says, the Mishnah had said, the Pasuk had said, Uvachoris b'korcha b'tzenecha. So now, the Pasuk doesn't need to specify what kind of animals a b'chor is brought from. We know that from other Pasukim. So Rav Shimon is saying, therefore, the words b'korcha b'tzenecha are extra in the Pasuk. He says, zu chatas v'asham, then they refer to a chatas and an asham. Now, a chatas and an asham could also, we know what animals they can be brought from, but the Ritva explains, Rav Shimon would say that, listen, once you have, the words are extra in the pasuk, and we don't have anything else to learn from them, so he's saying it refers to a chatas and an asham. So again, Amar Rav Shimon, Ma Bozel Lamdenu, what are we learning from that? Im lo oichon chutz v'choyma, does it mean that you're not allowed to eat them outside the walls of Yerushalayim? No, kavachoyma mimaisa, we have a kavachoyma from Maisa Sheni. V'im lifnei zirka, if you're telling me that you can't eat it before the blood was sprinkled, we already have kavachoyma mitodah v'shlamim. Then we can say we already knew from the pasuk, from later in the pasuk, that todah, in this case, from earlier in the pasuk, from the word nidvei secha, that it means that you can't eat todah and shlamim before the blood is sprinkled. This is why Rav Shimon has to darshan the pasuk out of order. Otherwise, what do you mean? We already know. We wouldn't know yet because we're not yet in the pasuk. So, if he means that a person that a zur eats from the chatas or the osham after the blood was sprinkled, and a chatas and osham are again the kodshim, and reserved only for kohenim. So then again, kavachomer b'vachor. Then we can learn by a kavachomer from a b'chor, as we'll learn on Omid Beis what the chumra is of chatas and asham over b'chor. Holei bar kosev ella. So rather, the words b'chor chavetzenecha are coming lo'ochem mechatas v'asham afilu la'achas zirka chutz l'koyim shu loika. If a koyin were to eat from the chatas and asham even after the blood was sprinkled, but he eats them outside the koyim, then he would still be chayev malchus, because there's a mitzvah sasei to eat them in the kloyim, the mokum kodesh ta'achol. The pasuk says on it, you should eat them in the holy place. In our parish also, Moshe and Aaron tells Aaron and his sons that the chatas that they have to eat the mokum kodesh, which means in the holy place of the azara. But if they eat them outside the azara, they're going to get malchus. So the pasuk over here is telling you that there's a lav involved as well. going further in the pasuk says nidarecha zu ola. The pasuk says your nidarim refers to a korban ola, because again the Ritva points out that often when a person is going to bring a korban ola, then he usually does it as a neder, where he's chayev b'achriyusa, where now if the animal becomes unavailable, then he's pledging that he's going to bring a different animal instead. So nidarecha refers to ola. Again, Rav Shimon ma'bal zel lamdenu. So Rav Shimon says, now what are we learning from that? What do we have? What do we have left to learn? Im lo oichon chutz l'chayma, does it mean that you can't eat the ola outside the walls? You can't eat the ola at all. But anyway, does it mean that if he eats it outside the walls of your shalayim is chayim malchus? Again, kavachayim imaisa. Im lifnei zirka, kavachayim mitodo shlamim. Then you can learn by kavachayim from todo shlamim that if he eats it before the zirka is chayim. Im lo achar zirka, if it means that a zor eats from it after the zirka, also kavachayim b'bechor. Then we already darshin from the word in the pasuk that refers to the bechor, and we know that applies all the more so to an ola. Im chutz l'kloyim, does it mean that if a koyan eats it outside the kloyim, we also don't need kavachayim b'chatas v'asham? At this point, we already know that that's true of the chatas and asham, and ola would be even more so than that. So now, what is the pasuk coming to teach you? As far as the ola, ela lo'ochum in ola la'achaz zirka, person eats from the ola after the blood was, even after Zrika, after the Bifnim, and even eats it in the Azara, Shuloika, he's getting Malkus because the Oila is not supposed to be eaten at all. So again, you have an essay on it, that the Oila is supposed to be burnt on the Mizdeach. So now Rav Shimon is telling you that there's a Lois essay involved as well. Okay. So thus far the Braisa. So that's why we said that Rav Shimon says that if a person eats from Bikurim before the Pesukim was said, then he gets Malkus, because Rav Shimon is learning that from the words. Rav Shimon is learning that from the words of Srumas Yodecha at the end of the pasuk. But one thing we see is that Rav Shimon. So now the Gemara is going to point out that Rav Shimon is. Now the Gemara is going to analyze the Braisa, and it's going to point out that further down on the Amud that Rav Shimon is doushing the pasuk out of order. Because again, his drushas would not work if he were to darshan the pasuk in order. Because how could he say, for example, let's say when it says that refers to the chatas and asham, and we already know certain dinim on it from elsewhere in the pasuk, those things says only later in the pasuk, and we wouldn't be able to learn. So he has to learn the pasuk out of order in order to make his drushas work. So the Gemara says, so Rava says, Omar Rava, Dilide Ime Kirib Shimon Teled, of a person, if his mother is able to, when a mother is going to give birth, she should daven that her child should be like Rav Shimon. Because look how great Rav Shimon is. The Eloi, and if not, Loi Taylor, then maybe she shouldn't give birth. Now the Ritva takes out those last words, because okay, listen, not everybody is capable of being a Rav Shimon. So he says, no, Rava just means that when a woman is going to give birth, let her daven that her children should be of the caliber of Rav Shimon, because you see from this Jerusha how great Rav Shimon is, how powerful he is as far as being able to darshan the Torah. So the Ritva takes out the words be loyal like tailored. The Oruch HaNer actually says, no, we can keep him in. It doesn't mean that if she can't have children like that, she shouldn't bother having children. He says what it means is like this. We know you have the Pasuk Isha Kisazria from this coming week's parasha. We're going to read it tomorrow in Shabbos Mincha, that when a woman has a baby, and we know Isha Mazras Tchila Yeledes Zohar. So that requires, in other words, so we see that the order of things is significant as far as whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. So now Rav Shimon is also saying over here, the order of things in the pasuk, where the order in which he's going to darshan things out of the pasuk is significant. Rava is saying, if you're able to darshan pesukim out of order, then it means that even if Ish Mazriya Tchila, it's still possible, and that Ish is Mazras second, there can still be a boy. And therefore, so you can say that she was going to have a boy no matter what. For Eloi, if not, if you always have to darshan pesukim in order, then not necessarily. She's always going to have boys, because you're going to have sometimes Isha Mazra, that Isha Mazriya Tchila, and it's going to be a Nekeva. So it's not so much that he's praising Rav Shimon, but he's pointing out the consequence of learning pesukim like Rav Shimon versus not learning pesukim like him. So that's how the Oruch HaNer explains. There are interesting remozim that are brought in this regard also.
We have here, we're coming in a few weeks to Lag BaOmer. You have the famous Zemer, Bar Yochai, where we have the line in it, Nasa Odom Nema Bavurecha, Nasa Odom Nema Bavurecha, that the whole thing of Nasa Odom was said for your sake. So that fits with what Rava is saying over here, that the world was created and that it's fitting only that there should be children who are born in it, like Reb Shimon, and that the whole concept that Hashem created mankind is for the sake of there being children like Reb Shimon. There's also, they bring in this connection. This is why we have the, that Reb Shimon, that Rashbi and Lag BaOmer are associated with the bracha of children. It's brought in Hayom Yom that Abayim would give bracha for children. And Lag BaOmer, it all connects with this Gemara over here, where Rava is saying that the specialty of having children is specifically about Reb Shimon. Anyway, so, and Rava says, Va'afa gavde islahu pircha, even though really we could easily slug up Reb Shimon's Drashas, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, nevertheless, Rava is very impressed with how Reb Shimon doused in the Pasuk. Because, let's work it out. My Chumra de Bikurim, let's start with, in what way are the Bikurim in Meiser, in what way are Bikurim more stringent than Meiser, where Reb Shimon begins by saying that if it was just a matter of not eating Bikurim outside Yerushalayim, then you could learn it by a Kal V'Chomer from Meiser Sheni, the Chumra must be Shekein Asurim Lazorim, because Bikurim are also to Zorim, unlike Maiser Sheni is not. But you could argue the other way around. Adonam, Maiser Chomer, Shekein also Lo'oinen. On the contrary, though, Maiser Sheni has a stringency over Bikurim, namely that an Oinen cannot eat it. That a person whose relative, that a person whose relative passed away, and hasn't been buried yet, is not allowed to eat Maiser Sheni, but he would be allowed to, according to Reb Shimon, at least he would be allowed to eat Bikurim. And the Chachamim actually disagree with that point also. There's a Gemara that is well, refers to a relevant Gemara in Yevamos, where the Chachamim hold that in fact Bikurim are also to an Oinen. But Reb Shimon, we're talking over here, according to Reb Shimon, he says that it would be allowed. Anyway. So therefore, so you could slog up Reb Shimon's own Kal V'Chomer and say that in that case, then Bikurim and Maisu each have a Chomer over the other. Next. My Chomer, the Toido Shlomim in Maisu. In what way are you going to say that a Toido and a Shlomim have a Chomer over Maisu Sheni? Which therefore he said that if it was just a matter of not eating them outside Yerushalayim, then you already know that by a Kal V'Chomer, and therefore the reference to Toido and Shlomim means something else. Is Shekein Tonin Matan Domim Ve'emurin Lagabim Mizbeach, because the Toda and the Shlomim, the blood of them has to be brought on the Mizbeach. Well, you could say, Adrav Meiser Chomer. You could argue that Meiser Sheni has a Chumra over Truma, over a Toda and a Shlomim, Shekein Tonin, Kesef Tzura, because to redeem Meiser Sheni, you need to redeem it specifically on coins that have an image or that have a stamp on them, as opposed to a toida and a shlomim. There's no such thing. Now you can have a toida or a shlomim, for example, that the animal becomes posel before it was shechted, and the din is that then you redeem it from hektish. You don't dafkin need kesef tzura. You can redeem it with anything from hektish. So you see that as much as there was a chumra in Toida and Shlomim over Meiser, there's also a chumra in Meiser Sheni over Toida and Shlomim. So therefore, Reb Shimon's Kal V'Chomer would not work. Then he continues, says Rava, "Umay chumra de bechor b'toido shlomim." What are you going to say? In what way is a bechor more stringent than toido shlomim? Shekein kedushos emirechem. The pashtus you would say because the bechor is kodesh ever since it's born, as opposed to the toido and shlomim are designated only afterwards. No, adarav a toido shlomim chamun shekein tonin smicho nesachim utnufas chazav ashoyt. On the other hand, the toido and the shlomim require smicha, you have to lean your hands on the animal before you shecht it, whereas with a bechor, you don't have to do that. The Gemara elsewhere derives all these differences from psukim. Unesachim, with a toido or shlomim, you have to bring nesachim, with a bechor, you don't. And with a toida and a shlomim, you have to wave the chazav ashoik, and then you give them to the kohen. By bechor, you don't do that. So therefore, so we see that there are many things in which a toida and a shlomim have a chomer over a bechor, and therefore again that kal v'chomer would not necessarily work.
Then the next one, my chumra l'chatas v'ashram b'mechor. In what way are you going to say that a chatas and ashram are more stringent than a mechor? Must be shekain kodshe kodshim, because the chatas and ashram are kodshe kodshim, whereas the mechor is only kodshim kalim. Again, adrav a mechor chumra, but you could argue that a mechor has a chumra over torah and shlomim, over the chatas and ashram shekain kishos emerechem, because again, it's kodesh as soon as it's born, as opposed to the chatas and ashram are only designated as such later on. So again, therefore, so you can't necessarily learn that kavachomer. So and then the last one, or my chumra de ola mechatas v'asham. In what way is our ola more stringent than a chatas v'asham? Shekein kolo. The pashtus, the reason is because it's completely burnt on the mizbeach. Well, adrab a chatas v'asham chamiri. You could argue that a chatas and asham are more stringent. Shekein mechapri, because a chatas and an asham are coming to be mechaper for an avera, whereas an ola is not necessarily. An ola, actually, the Ritva points out, the Gemara tells us in Zvachim, is mechaper for certain kinds of things, for violating an esseh, for a lois esseh where there's no malchus or anything else, or for hora avera and so forth, but they're not really the kapara. It's more to use the phrasing that the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, in Igeres HaTshuva, it's in order to make him, in order to put him back in Hashem's good graces, to make that he should be chover v'murutza, that he should be beloved by Hashem like he was before, but it's not really a kapara as such like the chatas and asham are. So the kavah chomer wouldn't work. And the last one, kulu chamiri me'ola. Furthermore, each one of them, in a way, has a chumra over an ola. The ispu shtei achilas, because with each other kind of korban, you have two different kinds of eatings. Part of it is eaten by the mizbeach and burnt on the mizbeach, and part of it is eaten by the koyanim and or the owners. As opposed to the ola, it's completely burnt on the mizbeach. So in effect, you only have one kind of eating. So therefore, so Rava is saying that yes, we should be very impressed with Reb Shimon that he came up with this drasha, and to Yelida Emek, Reb Shimon Taylid, a woman gives birth, she should daven that she has children like Reb Shimon, but nevertheless, really, if you analyze Reb Shimon's statement but more carefully, you can find that you can slug him up. Elamai Yelida Emek Reb Shimon. So what in that case? Then what is Rava so impressed with Reb Shimon that he's saying that a woman should daven to have children like him? And the answer is, you could say that. You could say that about any time. You could say that about any tzaddik daven that you should have children like him. But not only Rava is saying it specifically about Reb Shimon, but specifically in this context. So what is it in this context that he was so impressed by Reb Shimon that he said this? So the answer is, because according to Reb Shimon's own view of the matter of chumras, where he doesn't consider, for example, where he let's say considers the ola more chomer than the chatas and asham, and the chatas and asham more chomer than the bechor, and the bechor more chomer than the torah and shlomim and so forth, and he doesn't worry about those upshlogs that Rava pointed out to each one of them. So within that. So we're seeing that he has the break kite to go and darshan the posik out of order in order to come up with his drushes. Where again, if he had darshan the posik in order, it would be impossible to learn his drushes. Because let's say, for example, Rashi says, if he first said, b'chur, we learn from the word b'churis, and we would say kavachomer from Torah and Shlomim. What do you mean kavachomer from Torah and Shlomim? You don't know the din by Torah and Shlomim. You have to only later in the posik. So therefore, so you have to take it out of order in order to do that. So within that opinion, he's not worried about those pirchas to his kavachomer, then it's a great thing that he's able to darshan the pasuk out of order like that. Tosfos discusses Sataka, where does Reb Shimon get the idea that we should darshan the pasuk out of order like that? Because he says basically, he explains that with each one of them, it's fine. But if the pasuk was meant to be darshan in order, then the pasuk didn't have to mention. That's true. The pasuk didn't have to mention it at all. We could have learned it all from the Torah at the end. And therefore, necessarily, he says, in order for there to be something that we're learning from each phrase in the pasuk, it has to be that we darshan it out of order.
There is, in fact, a point that's made about that, and in fact, one thing that impressed Rava so much about Rav Shimon is precisely that point that the Chachamim, more so than anybody else, have the ability to darshan the psukim like this. We have throughout Shas, we have where they darshan al tikri this ela that, or they darshan a word as if it was written molei when it's really written choser, or all kinds of things like that. We wouldn't have the ability to come up with such drushas on our own. It takes great Chachamim it takes really high level to come up with such levels of Darashas, so where they know the secrets of the Torah. So therefore, that's what impresses Rava about Reb Shimon so much, that he sees that he has the breakkeit and the ability to do that kind of thing. Fine. So the Gemara asks, now, with all of this, though, we're saying that one point is that we have in all of this, as Reb Shimon is saying, that if that we don't need the Isser, that we don't need the Pasuk to tell us there's an Isser to eat these things outside Yerushalayim or outside the Beis Hamikdash, outside the Azorah, respectively, because we can learn it from a Kal Vachomer, So we're learning from a Kal Vachomer. The question is, v'chimazhirin min adin, how can you make an azhara, how can you make a lav out of a Kal Vachomer? Even according to the opinion that says that you can, as we learned about this in Sanhedrin, there are even opinions that say that you can punish a person based on a Kal Vachomer. Definitely, everybody holds ein mazhirin min adin, but you can't learn a lav from a Kal Vachomer. So how is Reb Shimon saying over and over in the Braisa, if we're going to learn the lav to not eat it outside Yerushalayim, then from the Pasuk we don't need that because we can learn it from a Kal Vachomer, from Maaser Sheni or from Bechor and so on and so forth, but you can't learn. You can't learn a lav from a Kal Vachomer. So the Gemara says, you're right. Isura ba'alma. He doesn't mean that you have malchus for each of these things. He just means for each one of them, there's an isur in it. There's an isur in it, but not necessarily that there's malchus involved. Now, to be sure, in the Braisa, he had over and over said, he'd use the word loika, so Tosfos points out, you'd have to say that he doesn't mean davka loika, that he means that he would necessarily get malchus, it just means that there'd be an issue involved. And in fact, the Ritzvah points out, sometimes we find the word loika to just mean that he's chaya, but not necessarily that he gets posh, that not necessarily that he gets malchus. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'ha'omar Rava. Didn't Rava say, Zor sha'ochmana ola lifnei zrika, that if a Zor were to eat from a korban ola before the blood was sprinkled, and he ate it, chutz v'choyma, and he ate it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, so l'Reb Shimon loika chomish. According to Reb Shimon, he would get five times malchus. So you see, the five times would be as follows. One, because he's a Zor. Now, to be sure, Rashi points out nobody's allowed to eat from an ola, so relative to an ola, everybody's considered a zur, but here we mean an actual zur. Because you have like this, it's outside the wall, and as we said, we're learning from a Kal Vachomer from Maaser Sheni that you can't do that. One is because, it's the second one because it's before Zrika, which we said we have a Kal Vachomer. The third one because it's a zur, and even after Zrika we have a Kal Vachomer from Bechor, all the more so Lifnei Zrika. One, because he's eating chutz l'kloyim, where a chatas and osham, you can't eat outside the walls. Obviously, if he's eating outside the walls of Yerushalayim, by definition, he's eating outside the walls of the Azorah too. And that we learn from chatas and osham by a Kal Vachomer, that he'd be chayev. And then you have that also, the fact that he ate an oila, where, as we said, at the top of the omur, a person eats an oila, then that alone makes him chayev malchus. So therefore, so you have five. And you see Reb Shimon, and we see that Rava is saying he actually gets five malchus, which means according to Reb Shimon, it's not just a matter of that there's five isurim involved, there's actually malchus involved. So how are we learning those isurim from a Kal Vachomer? We said, ein mazhirin min adin. So the Gemara says, fine, Rava says, doesn't mean actual malchus, chamisha isurin havu, it just means that there are five isurim, but not necessarily five malchus. So what about for Hanan tonight? Elohein Aloikin. The problem is that our Mishnah, the Perek, had begun with the words Elohein Aloikin, and our Mishnah is a continuation from it, and it mentioned all these various things. That it gets actual Malchus. Here we can't say that it means it's Lav Davka, and it doesn't mean Malchus, because then what's it doing in our Perek, which is talking about Malchus? So obviously we're talking about actual Malchus, and not just an Eser. Tosfos has a somewhat different understanding of the whole flow of the Gemara.
So the Gemara had asked that the Gemara had started with the assumption that Rav Shimon is saying that each of these phrases in the pasuk is telling us there is a new Isser, but in addition there's also Malkus if he eats it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. So we said, for example, when it comes to Bikurim, we already know a Kal v'chomer from Meiser, so therefore it must be that it's only telling us the new Isser, one, that you have to say the Pesukim on the Bikurim in order for the Kohen to eat it, and two, we're also learning that there that a person, that if he ate it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, he gets Malkus. But on the other hand, when it comes to the Todah and Shlomim, would be only then it would mean that that would mean only if he eats them before Zrika, then there's no Malkus. The Gemara had wanted to say that there's only an Isser. So now we're asking, Rava says, but if he eats Lifnei Zrika from the Ola, then according to Reb Shimon, he's getting five Malkus, and one of them is. And one of them is based on the Kal v'chomer from Meiser, and we see therefore that Reb Shimon is saying actual Malkus, and we're saying that no, it means there's only an Isser, and no, it means there would only be the one Malkus just for the fact that he ate it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and fine, that's not a problem because the pasuk does clearly say, don't eat them outside the walls. All Reb Shimon is saying is that in addition, there's also other dinim we can learn from that, but fine, the Gemara is assuming at that point that Reb Shimon would not say that he gets Malkus for those extra dinim. But all the rest of them would just be Isurim. And then the Gemara says, wait, but the Mishnah says, Elohein Aloikin, and it means that all of them he actually gets Malkus for, not just that it's a matter of some of them are only Isurim. So the Gemara says, Ella, we're going to answer as follows. It's true that normally you can't learn, and Tosfos goes on at great length over here with a long explanation of various ways of learning the flow of the Gemara. Anyway, the Gemara answers, Ella Kro Yisero Hu. No, the answer is, Reb Shimon would say, this whole posik that Reb Shimon was darshaning is really extra. Mechdik Siv, because after all, you have a posik Vaveisa Shom, or Vaveisem Shomma, really is how the posik says it, that you should eat, that you should bring all of these various things to your Shalayim and you should eat them over there. V'ochalta lifnei Hashem alekecha b'mokam b'gomer, and the posik says you should eat them before Hashem in the place that he chooses, meaning in your Shalayim. So now, loisucha lo'uchlam, so now, lift the Rechman, loisucha lo'uchlam. So now, the pasuk a few pesukim later could easily say, "Don't eat them outside your shalayim." Why would the Torah have to single out each one? Why would it have to give the whole list again? When we already know from a few pesukim earlier that all these things you have to bring to your shalayim. Ella, therefore, Reb Shimon says, it must be to tell us that there's a separate lav for each one, and therefore we're not really learning from a Kal v'chomer, so therefore instead we actually have that each one is considered a separate lav of its own. Like I said before, that Amam enumerates eight lavim that come just from this one pasuk, and therefore yes, we can say that a person does get malchus for each one, and we're not bothered by the fact that we're trying to learn an azhora and malchus from a Kal v'chomer, because we're not really learning it from a Kal v'chomer, we're rather learning it from the fact that the whole thing is extra in the pasuk. And again, Tosfos goes into a great arichos over here and has several different ways of understanding what the Gemara's question was and what the answer was. The bottom line is, though, that yes, a person does get Malkus for each of these eight things mentioned in the pasuk, and we don't really need Reb Shimon's Kal v'chomer after all. Okay.